ask you to take your Bibles this evening, if you would, and open once again to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you need a Bible this evening, please take the one from the pew rack in front of you, and you can find 1 Thessalonians 5 on page 1667. And tonight we're going to continue in our study through the series of exhortations that Paul gives to believers in verses 14 through 22 of 1 Thessalonians 5. And again, these are kind of compact statements, and they don't have a lot of connecting words between them, but they just kind of lay out this series of commands, of appeals to us about how to live our lives as believers in Christ. And our text tonight will be verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians 5. And again, just like the text we looked at last week, this is just two words in Greek. It's much longer in English, 50% longer, three words, but just two words in Greek. And our English translation is this: pray without ceasing. Pray being one of the two Greek words, without ceasing translating the other one. And I guess I'll just use the words of the text as the title of the message this morning, this evening. So the message is titled, Pray Without Ceasing. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we are thankful that you have given to us prayer as a way of fellowshipping with you. And Father, you speak to us through your word and through the unction of your spirit in our hearts. And you are already always ready to listen to us as we come to you in prayer, as we lift our voices in praise, as we cast our cares upon you, as we offer our petitions, as we make intercession for others and express our needs for our own lives. Father, I'm thankful that your word tells us that you hear prayer, that you're moved by it, that if we ask anything in your name, you tell us you'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And yet, Father, we so often fail to pray as we ought, in the manner we ought, as frequently, as consistently as we ought. And I ask, Father, that you would use just this short little verse to challenge each of us about the vitality of our prayer lives, about the closeness of our walk with you. And Father, by your grace, would you help us to be Christians of whom it could be said that we pray without ceasing. And so we commit this time to you. I ask that you would guide my thoughts and words and direct everything that is said in a manner that honors you, that is true to the Scripture, that is helpful to your people. I pray for each person here that our hearts would be open, that you'd take away the distractions, and that you would cause us to respond in faith and in obedience and submission to your word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to take a look at our text and the two verses surrounding it. So really verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so in these three verses, really we have a kind of a triplet of commands. You know, I've said there's not a lot of connecting words, but it would seem like these three exhortations, these three commands kind of go together. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And I would suggest that there's a little justification there that Paul adds at the end of verse 18, and that applies not only to the first part of verse 18, but it really applies to all three of the commands in this triplet of commands. So we're to rejoice all the time. Talked about that last week. We are to pray all the time. We'll talk about that tonight. And we're to be thankful in everything and all the time. We'll look at that next week, maybe the week after. I'm not sure for sure what we'll do next Lord's Day evening, but probably come back to this. And the why is given at the end of verse 18, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In other words, it's God's will for us to live lives that are characterized by rejoicing, by praying, and by thankfulness all the time and in all things. One commentator described these three elements as principles for the inner life, because really they represent attitudes that have to do with our relationship with God. If you think about it, they really do all go together. All three of those ideas stem from a resolved trust in the goodness of God, a realization that He is in control, that nothing happens by chance. So no matter what happens, we can rejoice in Him. We can lay our burdens before Him. And we can be grateful to Him no matter what, in every circumstance and all the time. And folks, that is what God desires for His life. That is, as the end of verse 18 says, His will for you and for me. And so that is what He gives us here in three commands: to rejoice, to pray, and to be thankful, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Make one last observation about these three commands kind of together, and then we'll focus in on the middle command. But in all three of these little short statements, for lack of a better word, the adverbial expression comes before the verb. And we talked about this last week if you were here, where it says rejoice evermore. Really, the Greek would say this: all the time, rejoice. And when something is placed at the leading point in a sentence, even a short one, that is typically in a Greek sentence for emphasis. And in all three of these cases, that descriptor, that adverbial idea comes first, and then the command. So it's like, all the time, rejoice. Without ceasing, pray. In everything, give thanks. And so really, Paul's point here, I think, isn't so much to emphasize rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks, though certainly those are the heart of the sentence. Those are the commands. But we find those commands in a lot of places in the Scripture. But what he wants to emphasize is, listen, you know, rejoice all the time. Pray all the time without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. You know, folks, I suspect that for most of us, we rejoice some of the time. We do rejoice. We know we need to rejoice. We rejoice some of the time. And we pray quite often. We realize that, yes, we should be a praying people. We need to pray. We do pray. And we give thanks fairly regularly. We'll do it a lot maybe over the course of this next week. But you know, we give thanks. We know we should do that. We know that it's right and proper to do so. But you know what, folks? The world is filled with people who rejoice once in a while, who pray occasionally, and who are sometimes thankful. But really, the thing that Paul is looking for, the thing that God desires from us, is that we don't rejoice only when it's easy to rejoice. And we don't pray only at particularly acute times of desperation. And that we aren't thankful just when things are going well, but that our life is characterized by this attitude of dependence upon God, where no matter what, all the time we're rejoicing. No matter what, all the time we are talking to God, we are praying to God. No matter what, all the time we are grateful. That's what he wants to emphasize here. All the time rejoice. Continually pray. In everything give thanks. And these things are to characterize the constant flow of our Christian lives. At all times, in all circumstances, we rejoice, we pray, and we give thanks. Now, you know, with that as a framework, let's turn our attention in particular to the middle command of the three, to our text for tonight, which, as I've said, is basically without ceasing, pray. Now, let's just talk about the two words there, okay? The word for pray. There are a number of different Greek words that are used in reference to prayer. And the one that's used here is just really a very general expression. It's a comprehensive word that isn't pointing to any particular kind of prayer. It's not talking in particular about intercession or about expressing our needs in supplication. It's not talking in particular about praising God or about asking God for things, though all of those things are encompassed under the umbrella of prayer. But his point here isn't to draw our attention to a particular kind of praying or a particular emphasis in our prayers. He's not so concerned about the special content of what we pray at any given time. He's just talking about our lives ought to be characterized by prayer. We should be praying. Sometimes it will be intercession, prayers for another believer. Oftentimes it ought to be praising God for His goodness. Sometimes we're just going to be asking Him based on the particular needs and burdens of our life. Sometimes we're going to be saying, Lord, I don't even know what to ask for. But, you know, the point is that we are continually going to God in prayer. So again, the point of the passage is not so much to instruct us about how to pray, what to pray for, but to appeal to us to be people of prayer. And in particular, the emphasis is to pray without ceasing. Okay, so that's the other word. And without ceasing is a good way to translate it, because it's one of those words that has a little, they call it an alpha privative, a little A in front of it. And which means without. The same thing works in English. Right? So it is that idea of without leaving off, without stopping, without ceasing. So really, if we're going to understand and apply this text, the key question we have to answer is, so what does it mean to pray without ceasing? Right? I mean, we throw that little expression around. What does it mean? You know, I mean, does that mean that every moment, every waking moment, I'm walking down the hall and I'm kind of going through a kind of almost like in a trance, just reiterating these prayers, saying things. I've got to be constantly voicing things from my mouth. You know, well, I think we would conclude that I don't think it means that. Because God tells us to be doing all kinds of other things as well. So it can't just be that we are expressing our prayers verbally all the time. That can't be what without ceasing means. Now, that word that's translated without ceasing appears four times in the New Testament, and three of them are right here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So let's just take a look quickly here at the other two times that we see that expression in this book, where Paul uses it to describe his own life rather than appealing to his readers to pray without to do something without ceasing. He speaks about himself doing something without ceasing. So let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. So right at the beginning of the book. And this is kind of part of Paul's greetings to the church as he opens the letter. And he says to them, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." So he tells these Thessalonian believers, listen, I pray for you always. I make mention of you in my prayers. I remember you without ceasing and the things that God is doing in your lives. Then look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. So just probably on the same page for you, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. He says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So Paul here says, listen, I remember you without ceasing. I pray for you. I thank God for you without ceasing. I do these things all the time. Now, let me ask you to think about Paul's life as it's reflected in, say, the book of Acts, as well as in his various epistles. Is it not true that some of the times Paul is preaching? Yes? Paul is witnessing. Paul is making tents. Paul is traveling. Paul is being beaten. Paul is in jail. Paul is being shipwrecked. I mean, Paul, you know, there's all kinds of things that are involved in the life of Paul. And realistically, he wasn't saying, Lord, I thank you for those Thessalonian believers. Lord, I thank you for those Thessalonian believers. Lord, those Thessalonian believers are amazing people. I really thank you. I mean, sometimes he was. But clearly, that was not an every moment kind of thing. So when we try to understand this without ceasing, it isn't that Paul is referring to something that's literally continuous without so much as an interruption. Okay, I mean we follow that. That can't be the understanding. So then, what is Paul saying? Right, if he's clearly not saying that, what is he saying? Let me suggest to you three things. Okay, and you might choose to pick one. I tend to think that all three of these have relevance, or all of these are kind of encompassed in this idea of praying without ceasing. So the first thing I would say is praying without ceasing means that a spirit of dependence on God should permeate all that we do. Okay, praying is really a way that we reveal our dependence upon God. And so someone who prays without ceasing, you know, is so mindful of their dependence on God that that's just kind of part and parcel to life all the time. And really that dependence on God, that is the spirit and essence of prayer. Right? We tend to try to do a lot of things, and then when all else fails, we go and we ask God. You know, I've tried everything else. God, you got to bail me out on this. Right? You know, well, who are we really depending on? You know, I'm depending on me and my ability to figure it out, to work it out, to do something. Now listen, God calls us to do what we know to do. He doesn't call us to, you know, the idea of let go and let God do nothing, just kind of sit back and watch. That's not the Christian life. Paul was anything but an inactive guy, okay? I mean, he was engaged, he was involved, he did what he knew to do, but he did it always in a spirit of dependence upon God. And that is the spirit of prayer. A realization that, you know what, I do what God calls me to do, what he burdens me to do, what he shows me to do, but I realize that in and of myself I can do nothing, and I do it in dependence upon God, and that dependence on God is reflected when I ask God for that help, when I appeal to him and cry out to him for his grace and for his mercy and for his undertaking and his empowering and his wisdom. And so prayer is a reflection of our dependence on God. So even when we're not speaking consciously to God, there is a deep, abiding dependence on him that kind of becomes woven into the heart of faith. And so in that sense, we pray or have a spirit of prayer continuously. And that's probably the most common way that I've heard this verse described. And I've described it that way myself. But it is far from the only implication of this text. So if we say, well, when Paul says pray without ceasing, he's just talking about having an attitude of prayer. Yes, we ought to have an attitude of prayer. Yes, we ought to have a heartfelt spirit of dependence upon God that is reflected as we pray, but it isn't just that. So praying without ceasing does mean there's that spirit of dependence on God, but secondly, praying without ceasing means praying repeatedly and often. And you know, the more I have spent time meditating on this verse and reading and studying, the more that I have come to the conclusion that this really is the primary point that Paul wants to make. Praying without ceasing suggests a pattern of repeated and recurring praying. We looked at those two verses, right? Chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Well, Paul, what was Paul saying to them? Was he just saying, I have a spirit of prayer about you. I have a spirit of thanksgiving about you. I have a spirit of remembering about you? No. When he said without ceasing, what he was saying was, you know what? Every time the Lord brings you to mind, I just thank God for what he's doing. I'm thankful for you. And God frequently causes me to remember you and to remember what God is doing in your midst. And he reminds me repeatedly to pray for you. So I do that often. I do it frequently. I do it all the time in that sense. But that doesn't mean every second of every waking moment of every day, because there's other people I'm praying for, and there's other burdens that I have, and there's other responsibilities that God has given to me. But praying without ceasing, giving thanks without ceasing, remembering without ceasing means that we do that thing repeatedly and often. I mentioned that there are four places where that Greek word without ceasing appears. So let's look at the fourth. We've already seen three of the four. The fourth one is Romans chapter 1 and verse 9. So let me have you turn over there. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. And this verse, I think, will give us a little more insight or confirmation, let's say, into what Paul means. I think it will affirm what we have just talked about. So Romans 1, 9, Paul says, for God, so now he's not talking to the Thessalonians, right? Now he's talking to the Roman believers. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So there is Paul talking about a spirit of dependence. Not primarily, right? He's talking about saying, God, you know, help so-and-so in the Roman church. Help that, you know, protect that church, whatever. He is making mention of them always in his prayers. So that's what this idea of praying for them without ceasing is there. And I really think that when Paul tells us to pray without ceasing, yes, there's that component of an attitude of prayer, of a spirit of prayer. But what he is saying is we need to be going to God and actually praying. You know, let's not hide behind the fact that, well, you know, I have a spirit of prayer about me all the time, you know. Well, praise God that you do. And we ought to want to have that. And that ought to be true about us. But, you know, the way that spirit of dependence on God it reveals itself is when we actually stop and pray. And we make mention. You know, we remember in prayer. We cast those burdens upon the Lord and we express them and we talk to God about it. So when Paul says that we are to pray without ceasing, yes, it's about a spirit that underlies every part of our lives. But it also means that we spend time praying to God repeatedly and often. You know, Paul mentioned the Romans. He mentioned the Thessalonians. He prayed for the Corinthians. He prayed for the Galatians. He prayed for the Ephesians. And he says that thing about all kinds of different things. And he says pretty much in every one of those cases that he did so all the time. I don't forget you. I remember you. I pray for you without ceasing. I pray for you continually. And so we understand that what this pictures is a pattern of recurrence and regularity and consistency such that it kind of just overshadows the life. There's the spirit within behind it of just a spontaneous heart towards God and a realization of how desperately we need God. But that spirit shows itself in actual time spent in prayer, regularly, repeatedly, often recurring. So without ceasing doesn't mean that we verbally or mentally have to be speaking prayers every minute of the day, but we should pray over and over, and we should pray often. Our default mental state, if you want to call it that, should be, Dear Heavenly Father, God, would you help me with this? Lord, I'm burdened about this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. Oh, I've just learned that brother so-and-so is dealing with this tomorrow. Would you undertake for him? Would you help? But there is that attitude of prayer that shows itself by us praying. Okay. Now we have a church prayer chain, and it goes out by email. It goes out by Facebook, and one of the dynamics of that phenomenon is that on Facebook, a lot of times people will acknowledge that they have seen that prayer request, and they'll write a short note back. They might just say praying, or I've been praying for you, or whatever, something like that. And I hope this, folks, that when you do that, now, saying that is an encouragement to the individual, okay? So that's a component of what happens when you do that. But I hope you're not just putting words down there and saying, well, I have a spirit of prayer for them, and you know, I'll remain. I hope when you say you're praying, that means you are repeatedly and regularly actually going to God on their behalf and bringing them before the throne of grace, you know, and asking God to work in the situation for which they have requested prayer. And I think we are sometimes cavalier in saying, I'm praying for you. I'll be praying for you. I'll pray for you. And we kind of rationalize that because we have a good desire and because we have genuine intentions that somehow or other that kind of carries the day. But let's recognize that pray without ceasing isn't just an embrace of the desire. It is praying, stopping, and going to God and praying regularly, often, again and again, every day, over the course of the day, that's what Paul is talking about here. So praying without ceasing does involve a spirit of dependence on God that should permeate all that we do. And praying without ceasing, I would suggest, especially means praying repeatedly and often. And kind of hand in hand in that, and the third thought I would suggest is that praying without ceasing means not giving up on prayer. And I would say that in a broad sense and in a particular request sense. In the broad sense, don't ever come to a point in your life where you cease to pray. Don't abandon the God of hope and say, what's the point? I prayed and it doesn't seem like God's doing anything. No, we are to go on praying. In that sense, we pray without ceasing. We pray without stopping. We keep on praying. We keep praying. We don't stop. And then when you're burdened to pray about a particular matter, don't give up just because it seems as if God is not immediately answering in the way that you think He is going to answer. Keep on praying. You know, Jesus gives us the example of that in the parable. We call it the parable of the unjust judge. It's in Luke 18, and that chapter begins this way. It says that Jesus spake a parable unto them to this end. Here's why He gave them this parable. Then men ought always to pray and not to faint. Not to weary in prayer and wear out and quit and cease. And the basic storyline of the parable is this. There's this unjust judge that Jesus describes as he didn't fear God. He didn't have respect for people. He was an unrighteous fellow, and yet he was in this role as a judge. And there's this widow who has been wronged. And she comes to that judge and she says, please, would you give justice in this matter? And the judge apparently just dismisses her. And she keeps coming back. And, you know, as I've told the story about this before, I mean, I can speculate about all kinds of dynamics. You know, I can picture the guy seeing her face in the back of his courtroom, so to speak, and rolling his eyes and saying, oh, no, she's here again. I mean, you know, the scripture doesn't give us much framework about what went on. But the idea is that she just kept coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back, and he's doing nothing and he's doing nothing and he's doing nothing because he's an unjust judge. He's not interested in justice. It isn't that her claim is invalid. He's just not interested in justice. And yet, she keeps coming back and she keeps coming back and she keeps coming back. And finally, the guy says, fine. Doesn't really say this, okay? I'm just imagining this. He says, fine, I will do what you ask. You have worn me out. It does say that. He's just worn out by her repeated coming. Now, we really get into dangerous ground if we say, well, Jesus is teaching us then that God is like that unjust judge. No! Remember the beginning of it. He didn't give the parable so that we would understand something more about God. He gave us the parable to say, you know what? If someone in a secular, earthly matter can keep persistently going to someone who doesn't even have an interest in justice, and eventually by their persistence, that unjust judge gives them what they ask for, don't you think that you can keep going to God with an expectation that He is going to do amazing things? Because He is a just judge. You know, and He is a loving Heavenly Father. And why is it that someone over an earthly matter can go persistently to an unjust judge, and yet we, the people of God, ask God one time and then quit? Or two times and forget? And we stop praying. And Jesus said, listen, take that parable to heart as a picture of why men ought always to pray without ceasing, and not to faint, not to quit, not to give up. So folks, I would suggest that if we are to pray without ceasing, it does involve all three of those things. It involves cultivating that attitude of dependence on God that makes us want to be praying, that drives us to pray frequently. And praying without ceasing surely means that we pray regularly and recurringly, morning, noon, and night, as it were. We're praying all the time about all kinds of different things as God brings them to our mind. We just keep praying on and on. We go back. We pray again. And it means praying without giving up, without stopping, without losing heart, without wearing down. We keep on praying. We pray without in a general sense, as being people of prayer. and in a specific sense, as we pray for particular burdens. Now, most of us have prayer lists that are really long, and sometimes we do forget, and God understands that. My point isn't that we need to be under a burden of guilt here, that I must make sure that I don't fail, you know, but there ought to be a serious heart to want to pray and to realize how desperately we need God's help so that it propels us to pray. And we pray regularly and repeatedly and often and daily and all the time without ceasing. So we need to be leaning on God all the time, never giving up looking to Him for help. We need to come to Him repeatedly and often during each day. And we need to cultivate a continual sensitivity to our need for God. And with that, adopt an ongoing longing for God. And you say, well, how do you get that? You know, how do you get the desire? I mean, I understand the mechanics of praying and the command to pray and the duty and the responsibility to pray. But how do I get the desire? Because frankly, folks, that's the thing we struggle with, right? Is having the desire to pray. And just that kind of almost involuntary compulsion to pray. Well, I think it would be good to notice here that, you know, as just a matter of practicality, some discipline in regular prayer times helps keep that kind of spontaneity alive. In other words, if you want to have a vital, hour-by-hour, spontaneous walk with God, you must also have a disciplined, regular prayer meeting time with God. And developing that as a matter of habit will cultivate the desire and the dependence and the realization that we need to be praying more and the desire and the fervency to do so. Let me give you an example. Daniel had some remarkable times of communion with God when it was critically needed. But let's just notice for a minute how that came about. Remember that decree was passed that no one could pray except to the king? Under penalty of death. Okay? And Daniel 6:10 tells us, here's how it went with Daniel. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime, as he had always done. You know, you want to ask yourself, how would I respond if I were in Daniel's shoes, right? If the word came out and said, you can pray to no one but the president upon pain of death. And if you are caught praying to anyone besides the president, you are going to be executed. And we stand up and say, well, I would never capitulate to that. I would keep on praying. And then my question for you is really, well, now, without the face of that threat, how much praying do you do? Right? There's nobody threatening you with death if you pray. How much praying do you do? See, when the time came for Daniel to face that threat, he didn't even have to think about it. Because he had developed a pattern of life where he prayed regularly. He prayed recurringly. He prayed on a daily basis. And that became part of who he was. Such that when the king said, don't pray to anyone but me, or you're dead, Daniel was unfazed by it. Because he had those things we've talked about. That pattern of praying recurringly and regularly. That spirit of dependence on God, such that he couldn't fathom going through a day without spending time in prayer to God. And I don't know what he prayed about, but he probably said, help the king. He doesn't know what he's up against here. I mean, I'm not sure what he prayed, but you can imagine that he kept praying for whatever it was that God was burdening his heart with. And the point I want to make is that Daniel lived a life that combined discipline, okay? He prayed, it says, 3 times a day with spontaneous encounters with God. And folks, that's how it ought to be with us. If we hope to cultivate an attitude where we pray without ceasing day and night, where we enjoy a continual coming to God and close communion to God, we will need to develop disciplined times of prayer. Nobody maintains spontaneity in this fallen word if there's not some discipline behind it. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I'm not saying you've got to get up at midnight tonight and pray if you're an early bedgoer, okay? That's not the point. But the point is there that the psalmist was burdened that, you know, daily I'm going to get up and pray. Psalm 55, 17, he says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, I think that those two passages were probably a lot of what motivated Daniel about praying three times a day. But again, the point isn't so much the formula. The point is that we have examples and we have appeals here that say we need to be praying regularly. And folks, it is a good point, a good pattern for you when you awake in the morning to spend time in prayer. It's a good pattern for us when we sit down to eat a meal that we pause and pray. It's a good pattern for us to pray before bed at night. It's a good pattern for us to pray in connection with our devotional time. And you add that up right there, and you got 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. Well, that's some semblance of regular, recurring prayer day by day by day by day. And if we will structure some of that into our lives, Then when all of a sudden we're talking with somebody on the phone and they express a burden, we're going to be inclined to either one, as soon as we hang up the phone, pray for them, or maybe say, hey, how about I pray for us right now? But if you're not in the habit of praying regularly and in some sense systematically as it is, then why do you think that you're going to have that sense of dependence and desire that causes you to pray spontaneously? When God brings to mind, when you're without ceasing remembering people and burdens and concerns. So folks, I'm not saying that there's a system here. But I am saying that if you're not praying very often as it is, and if there's no pattern to your prayer life as it is, don't think that God is going to just by some divine zap give you a delight and a desire to pray more. Let's start by structuring into our lives certain times of prayer. And if you'll do that, and some of you do that already. So I'm not making some broad categorization here. But the more we do that, the more we are going to experience then those spontaneous moments where God just brings something to our mind and we realize, oh, I gotta talk to God about that. Oh, I need to share that request with God. Oh, I need to just stop here and thank God and praise God and ask God and whatever it might be. If we'll get in the practice of regular prayer, even if it is sometimes more a sense of duty than delight. Let me ask you here a question, okay? Is it better to pray even if you don't feel like it? Or is it better not to pray? How many for better to pray even if you don't feel like it? How many for better not to pray? Okay, I don't see any hands. Now, admittedly, we all would favor option 3, which is that God would give me a fervency and a desire to pray, and I do it, yes. But unless you are the unique, one in a million Christian, you have times when you know you ought to pray and you don't feel like it. And those are the times when we need to develop that habit of praying anyway. And the more that you do that, the less frequent those times will be. And the more there will be those spontaneous times outside of your regular times when God burdens your heart and you stop and you pray. And sometimes it is out of duty that the delight comes. You know, we want to say, Lord, give me the delight and I'll do my duty. God says, listen, you do your duty and I'll give you the delight. And folks, when it comes to prayer, really that's how it needs to be. If we want to be people who pray without ceasing, we got to start with praying more in some sort of a structured way and let God then bring in the delight that causes us to pray more and more, and with less a sense of obligation and duty, and more a sense of dependence on a good and loving God who's in control in all things, and who is the answer to every burden and every need and every problem and every difficulty, and who ought to be thanked and praised all the time for the amazing things that he's done in our lives. And that's where the rejoice evermore, the pray without ceasing, the in everything give thanks, those all come together. They all kind of go hand in hand. And if you will make it a point to be more regular in prayer, you know what? You'll find it's easier to rejoice. And you'll find that you will become a more thankful person. And you'll have greater delight and spontaneity in prayer. Folks, prayer needs to become a way of life. Where we start our day with prayer, where we pray throughout the day, where we end the day falling asleep, often with petitions rising from our hearts to the throne of God. That is what it's like to pray without ceasing. Father, we are thankful that you have